Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
Oh foolish man, eh? Oh foolish man. That's what Weishaupt kept saying. Oh foolish man, what can you not be made to believe? And he was talking in reference to the mystery of religion. He says, you need a good mystery to pull people in, that gets the members in. You never give them a truth to it or an answer to it, just keep the mystery going. But he also said, what can you not be made to believe? It's the same thing as Lord Bertrand Russell, amazing guy, participated in all these world events to bring in this world socialist system. This guy was a hereditary lord, a British lord. And he was the head of so many foundations, or at least the one, the spokesman for them. You can't keep up with them all. He worked for the United Nations eventually. He worked setting up the League of Nations before World War II. He went over to China to teach in universities to bring in the concept of communism. He was teaching communism before there were communists in China. During World War II, he worked for MI5 as a propagandist. You see, all those people definitely wanted rid of the Nazis with a passion. And they all came together and went into MI5. Then he was back into his ban the bomb stuff. He was the head of the biggest organization for peace, as they called it. He advocated the Soviet system for an awful long time. Then quietened it down a bit when they found out how many people had slaughtered under the Stalin regime. They all quietened down, but they didn't stop believing in it. And he was also one of the heads of the Pugwash Foundation. Came out about world peace. They're always talking about world peace, and this present bunch too are always on about world peace will come through a world society under a global governance.
Of course, everybody involved in working together and planning the future, who turned out the books on it, from eugenics all the way down to Julian Huxley and UNESCO and his brother Aldous Huxley. Aldous Huxley was quite open about the fact that was his biggest worry in the future was overpopulation. And everybody in his class and his ilk were of the same mindset, of course. Hasn't changed. And during World War II, they had a meeting in London, and the king presided at the time before he died over it. At the time, they weren't killing enough in war. Like Bertrand Russell said, you know, hasn't killed enough off. If only could have plagues every so often, it would make you the population. That's what he said, Bertrand Russell, this wonderful hero of eugenics and socialism. But folk don't stop to think what they're hearing sometimes. And many folk at the bottom actually agree with them, not realising that just because you have a little flag that you wave for whatever party you join, it means that you're going to get spared either, because George Bernard Shaw said the same thing, didn't he? You'll have to come to us and explain why we should keep you alive when we're in control. Literally, you know. See, you're taking up the world's resources. But Bertrand Russell was quite blatant about it, and he said, yes, yes, we need a good black death, a bubonic plague every generation or so to cull off the useless types and infirm and feeble types and the poorer types. Quite open about it. And he also said that the future they'd bring in, he and his brotherhood class that he belonged to, he said, well, by means of diet, injections and injunctions, we shall bring it in, their order in, basically, on the general population. To make us really obedient, you see, and cull us off, make us stupid as well. We're going into this whole system so rapidly. It's astonishing, really, how fast it's working. But again, it's happening at the right time. They know exactly, with the internet today and real-time pulse of the people and conversations and chat and all the rest of it, they know that this generation now, with about 20-odd years of intense brainwashing, they know they're ready for the next push, as they call it. And that's what you call these stages of movement, is a push. So they have to push the next phase, where they know, or they believe they know, that they can come against any opposition and punish you, because they've made everyone pretty well dependent on this internet system, this wireless system too. for their banking, for everything that they do to basically survive. It's not a new idea. It was discussed, as I say, by Bertrand Russell and his cohorts in the groups that he belonged to, who helped shape the culture that we're going through today, by the way. You know, that's how old this part of the system was designed a little long ago. The idea was that eventually you get your credit systems dished out by government to a kind of bank account. They call it credits, call it whatever you want. Maybe sound different, or dollars, doesn't make any difference, as long as it's put in there every month by the state. And you might not even have to work, because that's what they're going today with, a universal basic income. They know with robotization and all the work being given to China, all the physical work, there's not going to be enough jobs. There's not enough at the moment for people to work in the West. So there'll be a universal basic income eventually, and it goes into your bank account every month. It'll be enough to pay your rent or whatever you need, basic food and so on. If you're bad, you'll be punished by the government with withhold it. You'll have to eventually repent and go through a penance, etc. You'll be judged electronically. It's already happening because of things you might say or even think, eh? Like the policeman said to that journalist, we're concerned about the way you're thinking, you know. Yeah. This is where it's all going, folks. Punishment by even strata of technicians that are not elected into power by any of you, and by the electronic systems that they all work for, and they seem to be the new censor police, aren't they? They just know what's right, you see, because their bosses tell them what's right. And as long as they can swagger around and feel important, they'll do what their bosses say. That means punishing all of you. And that's a sad, sad commentary about human beings, but it's very, very true. But we are going into an awful tyranny where you're told that up is down, left is right, etc. As Bertrand Russell said, give them the children, I can train them to believe that snow is black. In other words, they can make you believe anything, and you better say it. You better say it, like Winston in 1984, or in George Orwell's book, you know. O'Brien's torturing him, and he says, if I say I can fly, Winston, he says, you'll believe it. You'll believe it. It isn't enough that you say it, but you'll believe it, he says, you know. And this is where we're going. This is an old agenda, folks. Well, that's how they talk about the people, how they manage the public. It's awful for them to have a long period of not too much happening, you see. So your financial crashes, you're always living in fear. You can't win in this system if you're ordinary people. You really can't. It's not meant that you win anything, actually. Maybe a scratch and win, but you lose it again next time you buy the tickets. It's all a setup and a big con. Because if you won, you'd all be happy. Happiness is the last thing they want the public to have. You're supposed to always listen to experts, you see. And the experts always terrify you of all the awful things that could happen when you're alive. And most folk now can't even think without experts. Like Bertrand Russell says, we're training the public to be basically inadequate without the advice of experts on the basic things. And he meant like changing diapers on babies. Now you need lessons on how to do it. Huh? People can't think for themselves. It's interesting too that because of that they knew they create different kinds of designed humans. Go into the impact of science on society by Bertrand Russell, tie that in with it too. And you'll see what he talks about. It's all connected. Russell said on page 50, I've read this before too. And it's good to repeat things to people because they forget so fast. He even mentions how repetition is so essential to condition you. Well, see, repetition on yourself is essential for you to free yourself as well. He said anyway, he says, 50, their philosopher, laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will. Right? This is the guy who worked with the Macy Group. It was designed and set up as a massive international think tank to create a post-World War II culture, which would be totally under control. and creating free sex and all the rest of it, then coming with abortion to deal with the fallout of the free sex, etc., etc., and the destruction of the family unit, yada, yada, all that stuff they plant, they worked with it. They worked with all what's called the radical groups, the socialist groups. They worked with the groups, the Frankfurt School, for instance. And the Mason group were also given the authority to do so, to create a new culture by Eisenhower, it was, when he became president of the US. So they weren't just doing a thing all on their own. This is still to the same today. The big groups that run us have authorization from the top. Some of them don't even know that, but the guys who rule them and run them, they do know this. It's all been, it's been planned that way. So Fichte laid down that education should aim at destroying free will. See, you do free will by destroying the individual. So that after people have left school, they shall be incapable throughout their lives, the rest of their lives, of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. But in his day, this was an unattainable ideal. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. In the future, such failures are not likely to occur where there is dictatorship. And that's the famous part, too, that I've mentioned many times and many folk have caught on to. Diet, he says, the food that you're given, right, is available for you. Injections. And, yes, he went on to say that injunctions, laws and so on, will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers will become psychologically impossible. Think of all, you talk about your social credit system, and you're already seeing it to your naughty, naughty, no money for you this week, you see, things like that. That's how it's done. Any serious criticism of the powers of it will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy, because the government will tell them that they are so. A totalitarian government with a scientific bent might do things that to us would seem horrifying, he says. Again, getting back to Nietzsche, thinking about Nietzsche, nothing would become impossible, you see. If there's no God, then all the rules that you had, morality rules and so on, moral rules, are out the window. That made a lot of people excited of what they could get do then, right? So he goes on about the Nazis. He says they were more scientific than the present rulers of Russia when he wrote the book, and were more inclined towards the sort of atrocities that I have in mind, he says. They were said, I don't know that with what truth, to use prisoners in concentration camps as material for all kinds of experiments, some involving death after much pain. If they had survived, they would probably have soon take to scientific breeding. So the whole point of it is getting at in socialism, they'll eventually take you to scientific breeding. Any nation which adopts this practice will within a generation secure great military advantages. The system, one may surmise, will be something like this, except possibly in the governing aristocracy. All but 5% of males and 30% of females will be sterilized. This is a guy who's exposing it under the guise of, this, you know, but he's actually advocating it. Because he worked with the groups that gave us the present system, that gave you a lot of these things that are already happening. Now remember, the big players years ago, like Bertrand Russell, who couldn't help but publish his stuff because he had a tremendous ego at the same time. He wanted to impress his peer group. But many of the things he said, if you're not careful, can suck you in. They're meant to. He uses an awful lot of logic. Remember where he's coming from. It's from a different perspective, because he did not see the working people, the ordinary people, really is almost human, you might say. Like H.G. Wells, the same kind of character. A tremendous snob. And he did believe in eugenical breeding, as they all did. They believed themselves that they were products of very specialized selective breeding and choices. The ones at the bottom, Bertrand Russell called the useless eaters. And if you're not essential, you're getting the point, essential, then you're classed as a useless eater. As a starting to, a little bell's gone off maybe once in a while. You know? Useless eaters. It's all connected. This isn't happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's all connected, folks. Because they have given out these talks your whole life long at world meetings about useless eaters, and too many of you, it's always you, not them, but it's always too many of you. You see, all their helpers think they're going to get through as well and get extra little. But again, a lot of them will be useless as well once there's nobody left to order about down below, you see. And that's where all will end up eventually. That's some kind of something on your side to an extent. You may not get satisfaction in your lifetime, but you can be guaranteed that the ones who help it all happen, they get theirs eventually as well, because they won't need them either, you see. If you want a person to be completely naive, you bring them up to be naive. You tell them that they're in the best country in the world, exactly what Bertrand Russell said in the 40s and 50s. He says the people believe they're living in the best country in the world because our government keeps telling them so. And why would, when you're a child, why would adults lie to you? Think about that. It's a natural thing in a mammal, a young mammal, to look at the older mammals for advice that will keep them safe. That's how mammals learn what to be wary of from the adults. And people are no different. Children really believe what they're told. If you give them a good fairy story from a book, they'll believe it. They believe it. Their mind can conjure up, as you're reading it, the images, and perfect images that would put Disney to shame. Great imaginations. But it doesn't dawn on them when the adult seems to be talking seriously to them. It never dawns on them they could be lying to them. Why would adults lie? It's not the natural way, you see, in life. As all young mammals look for adult ones, especially the parents, to guide them. Today, of course, you've got broken societies and broken marriages and broken everything else. And again, like Bertrand Russell said they would do, because he was all part of that institution for world government by professionals, he said that, we, the International Socialist Organization, and you're talking about a British lord here, many of the lords were on board with this, of course, still are today. Actually, more today, because they'll come from the same particular groups to be made lords. And Russell said that we used to think we'd have to remove all the children from their parents and have the state bring them up in creches and private homes and things like that, big mass organizations. This is what they use for the kibbutz in Israel. That's where that came from too. Children off the Dream, you have to read that one if you want to understand what that was about. Totally, but it was a way beyond even Marxist, the first ones that set up, where the children were removed from their parents. They were not even known to be told who their parents were. And so different adults would look after all the children. They'll take turns at it, and the children were not to know who their parents were. That was the intention of it. Eventually, nature reasserted itself, and about the 70s, mothers started to demand that they take care of their own children. So that was a natural reassertion coming in again. But that system was being brought across the whole world, you understand, and Bertrand Russell and the different groups that he worked with to create, especially just before World War II and then during and after World War II, he worked with all the top organizations you have heard the names of, and I've talked about the different ones. They were given the authority to create a new global culture for society.
Now, who lead the young down through the years? Remember Bertrand Russell and a book about him, in fact, written for him. That's photographs of him at they called it the Committee of 100. These were the real vanguards of the peace leagues, the anti-bomb leagues. He ran these groups. Now, Lord Bertrand Russell also was a eugenicist who believed and worked for these boys at the top. So his job was to go out into the world and get everyone behind him to create a fake anti-war movement that really would believe in it. All the followers really believed in it. So so that the public who watched these demonstrations on their TV would live in horror that we're going to get nuked at any minute, keep you in constant fear. That was the idea of the Cold War, apart from making high-tech advances with unlimited tax money from the people to make more change for the future. And we're seeing it all come out now with security, etc., etc., watching everything that we do. So they always give you the opposition, but they also used university leaders, professors.
You have to understand this. You're not living in the system you've been trained to see. Bertrand Russell said that we, meaning his clique that he belonged to, a very high clique, in fact, he said we used to believe that all we had to do was to point out to the public what was right and wrong and what they should and shouldn't do, and suggested them the better paths to follow. And he said how wrong we were. What we really needed to do was use what really worked, a brass band, flags and parades and things. That's what the public will follow. It's an emotional thing. There's never been a time in history where so much of our own money, of course, through grants, gets used to pay for studies and programs to control our behavior on behalf of the ones who own the system, basically. And it works awfully well, incredibly well, because and the amount of financing the different teams in psychology and behaviorism get is staggering, folks. We have our nudge experts. I've given talks on them. They're international, and they prod you to behave on the internet and so on, or they'll cut you off. And they're active and at it. They're going to teach you, whether you like it or not, to self-police. Don't do this, don't do that, don't say this, don't say that. And just like Bertrand Russell said in the socialistic gulag we're in, basically, this world gulag, which they're creating this electronic gulag. Russell said they'll cut off your funding, your money, your credits, whatever they want to call it, from the state, until you're on your knees and you can't pay your rent or feed yourself, until you behave. And that is happening. We're living through this, folks. And that's not coincidence. Because the characters in Russell's day helped plan the whole system up to the present time, including what Russell talked about, the true language of numbers, which is, of course, is what they run your electronic systems by. Listen to. Remember what Bertrand Russell said after Weishaupt, who was only one member of one group of a higher Freemasonry involved in the same movement of world domination. And Weishaupt said, "O foolish man, is there nothing you cannot be made to believe?" That's why we see so much nonsense put out there amongst what we call the patriot-type movement in the US, interspersed with revelations from the Bible, with prophecies that spring out of the woodwork all over the place like mushrooms in the dark. And there's a lot of work going behind all these things to terrify the public, to make you think everything's inevitable. That's why it works this way. That's why there's so much of it out there. And if it's not that, it's written in the stars. If it's not God's will, it's just this big strange thing where everything's predestined in the stars. Anything that predestines anything makes you give up before you start. And that's an old, old con. Very, very old. Ancient. Thousands and thousands of years old. And Bertrand Russell, remember, who was a very high member of this whole mind control business to do with whole populations, a tireless worker for this agenda. He said something similar to Weishaupt. He says, "There's no nonsense so arrant that it cannot be made the creed," meaning the belief, "of the vast majority by adequate governmental action." Think about that now. Nothing. There's nothing, no nonsense, so arrant
but it cannot be made the creed, the belief, you see, of the vast majority by adequate government action. Lord Bertrand Russell.
Just going through or cutting through some of the incredible things that have been happening in the last 50 odd years and how society has ended up exactly where people prophesied would end up. People 50 years ago, 100 years ago even, because they knew the agenda. And as Huxley and others have said, and Bertrand Russell, they could make the people go any direction they wanted to with scientific conditioning. And that's what we've had, scientific conditioning. One of the main things they had to do a long time ago was to get a standardized educational system so that everyone could be taught the same indoctrinations. Because you take your reasoning from what you've been taught, you reason things out according to the data, and you come to conclusions. But they knew back then that we worked just like computers. A computer has a language, and a computer has a certain logic, a process it must go through. And we work the same way. So by giving you little bits and bytes of information, you use your reason, and you will come to predetermined conclusions as you must. Therefore, when you give the same data to the same to everyone under a standardized educational system, they'll all come to the same faulty conclusions, but they'll all think they're right because everyone else agrees with them. And that's how simple it is. They understood this long, long, long ago. Now, tests were even done in certain very quiet schools 100 years ago in parts of Europe, including England, by scientists, and they found they could rear children in an environment, a closed environment, and teach them whatever they wanted, and the people would believe it. The children would grow up believing it. If they told them the earth was flat outside, they'd believe it. If they told them they'd fall off the edge or they went outside the house or the planet, well, they believe that too. You can make people believe anything in a closed environment. The next part is to get the whole world into this closed environment, and you do it simply by giving them all the same type of education from kindergarten onwards. Now, Bertrand Russell, who was one of the biggest players we've had, that came out publicly with a lot of information and who was all for it, of course. And he was an old aristocrat from a very, very old family in Britain. He was groomed for the diplomatic service, but he ended up being a type of philosopher and mathematician. He thought that through mathematics, they could literally rule the mind. It's interesting, we're going all the way to the brain chip, which works on the binary code, and you think this is all just coincidence. Well, Russell didn't dream it up himself. He worked for the Tavistock Institute, amongst other big institutions that had lots of data on humanity. We're the most studied species on the whole planet.
I hope you're still all ticking along okay and surviving the massive changes that are underway, because it's in the air, you feel it. I always go by the observations of authors down through time, basically, and some of them, like H.G. Wells, that worked for the big system, of course, he did say that when World War II was coming along, he said it was in the air, you could feel it, everybody could feel it, and you get these senses of change. It's almost like you suspect there's whispering going on somewhere, or you might you don't hear it, but you suspect it's around you somewhere. It's almost like that kind of feeling you get when the big changes are happening, because we move through life now in planned stages. And these stages are really, really incredibly well planned. Getting back to the old revolutionary ideas of Albert Pike, and he said they never start a premature revolution. You got to prepare the groundwork. You got to get everything in planned out. You get all the different contacts, people involved, and support of all kinds, all done beforehand, before you'd even start the first move. And it's quite something when you go into the characters down through time. They're all connected, because Pike supposedly trained Mazzini for the World Revolutionary Party, and Mazzini was a good friend of the mother of Bertrand Russell. That's something, eh? She had a lot of these people as visitors to her home often. It's just astonishing how they all, it's like a small world in some ways, isn't it? With perpetual forms of revolution. It isn't coincidence that people long before that one in Britain was pushing the agenda and talking about it in lifelong training, where it would eventually become impossible. But not long after him, you have Bertrand Russell saying the same thing on conditioning. And Bertrand Russell was meeting with the international groups as well that were formed during World War II, some of them, or at least he came out in the open then. And they all worked together to create a new culture for the West. And they were given authority by prime ministers and by presidents to do so. Your present culture didn't arrive by itself. The sexual revolution didn't happen by itself. It was made to happen by the same people who first gave you the technological revolutions long ago, mechanical, you know. And then the present high-tech revolutions. And they give you the stars to follow as well. They'll give you the front people you're supposed to worship, like John Brockman said they do. They were, his job was to elevate scientists and industrialists and financiers and to star status. Because at that stage, they would train society to worship those who had such power and money. A basic, basic human response to power and money. They understood this, you see. And Bertrand Russell also said in the 40s that he said with the proper conditioning, perfect conditioning, and raising the children, he says, you know, into adulthood. He was talking about the different behaviorist techniques they knew about perfectly well and studied and so on. Constant experimentation with Skinner and all the rest of them, what they could do, and Pavlov, etc. And they all shared these experiments, this information. Isn't that what, too, through the whole Cold War, that once the behaviorists and scientists never ever lapsed in their exchange of data with each other on how to control everybody? Don't you think that's a bit odd, huh? That's allowed? I mean, you start to see other things, other realities here, perhaps, hmm? But Russell said that eventually, with the proper conditioning from childhood, he said that it's impossible for sheep to complain about the price of mutton as for the people to literally complain about their servitude and their domination, basically. And they couldn't revolt against it any more than the sheep could. But the terminology is awfully important. He says it's unthinkable, he said. It's unthinkable, a sheep complaining about the price of mutton. You couldn't. You'd be so conditioned through Pavlovian techniques and guilt reflexes and all the rest of it. Just kick in. You see, that's what he meant by it. Total conditioning, the ability to cross that line, and to click and see things, and your own state of affairs would be impossible. They've made everyone pretty well dependent on this internet system, this wireless system too, for their banking, for everything that they do to basically survive. It's not a new idea. It was discussed, as I say, by Bertrand Russell and his cohorts in the groups that he belonged to, who helped shape the culture that we're going through today, by the way. You know, that's how old this part of the system was designed a little long ago. The idea was that eventually you get your credit systems dished out by government to a kind of bank account. They call it credits, call it whatever you want. It makes no difference. Or dollars, doesn't make any difference, as long as it's put in there every month by the state. And you might not even have to work, because that's what they're going today with a universal basic income. They know robotization and all the work being given to China, all the physical work, There's not going to be enough jobs. There's not enough at the moment for people to work in the West. So there'll be a universal basic income eventually, and it goes into your bank account every month. It'll be enough to pay your rent or whatever you need, basic food and so on. If you're bad, you'll be punished by the government withhold it. You'll have to eventually repent and go through a penance, etc. You'll be judged electronically. It's already happening because of things you might say or even think. Eh? Like the policeman said to that journalist, we're concerned about the way you're thinking. You know, this is where it's all going, folks. Punishment by even strata of technicians that are not elected into power by any of you, and by the electronic systems that they all work for, and they seem to be the new censor police, aren't they? They just know what's right, you see, because their bosses tell them what's right. And as long as they can swagger around and feel important, they'll do what their bosses say. That means punishing all of you. And that's a sad, sad commentary about human beings, but it's very, very true. But we are going into an awful tyranny where you're told that up is down, left is right, etc. As Bertrand Russell said, given the children, I can train them to believe that snow is black. In other words, they can make you believe anything, and you better say it. And one, I remember reading about Bertrand Russell, who, what an arrogant psychopath this guy, but he came from a family of them, a long lineage of them. But yeah, he was arrogant as could be about useless eaters and how science had the right to rule and decide. And he's the one who said that if there was to be a tyranny that would come and replace this obsolete system, he said he'd rather be a scientific tyranny. And that's what you've got now under the cover or the guise of science, where you're told not to question professionals by Fauci. Eh? Remember he said that? How dare you little people question things? Your brains are too tiny to understand it. There's nothing complex about it, believe you me. The human body is the basic human body, and it's a machine. But now you just don't understand these things, you know. But anyway, yeah, that's how Bertrand Russell was too. And he was quite blatant about the agenda for depopulation and useless eaters. He called them that, you know. And the fact you need a bubonic plague every generation or two to keep the population down. That's what he said in his own books. And how you'd always grab the children and train them. The state would train them for the new moralities and the new values of the state. That's what he said in his writings. He worked with experimental schools early on too, and was given permission. No other schools could do the kind of things, but create new moralities, sexual and otherwise. In the 1920s, as an example, he was given permission to do experiments like that, to see what they could do to alter the behaviour of children who would then become adults, you see. But what I'm pointing out is there more to it or not? Because there's a psychopath who really loves life, who's riding high on the backs of everybody else. They certainly do love life. They don't want to get off this planet here. And then you have other ideas to do with religion and demonology. I like to compare all these different things, regardless of what you want to believe or think about it. You should always look at all the different avenues that bring you to the same questions. As they're still doing the same today, aren't they? As they've been doing for thousands of years, by using us all for their own particular agendas, including, you know, Julian Huxley and transhumanism. He came out with the term in his own writings at the time, and it's been copied ever since, merging themselves and through all the sci-fi movies you've seen, merging themselves into the computer system, the internet system, like the Lawnmower Man. And even transferring their whole intellects, their whole awareness, their being with engrams in their brains into computers. It's all the same agenda, isn't it, by the same kinds of people. And you have to ask yourself what really does drive them, because they don't see themselves. I don't think they ever have seen themselves as a part of general society, like Bertrand Russell and his ilk. And he said that eventually the elite will be pretty well a separate species from the rest of the population. And here we are. So take your pick what you want to think about it, but don't rule out anything at all. I used to really wonder too, when MI5 is an example, and I know that the OSS, they're doing World War II, up until into World War II as well. He already had the Secret Service, you know, in Britain, the Special Operations Executive, SOE. but the OSS in Britain at the time, and they brought in communists from Europe, they spoke the languages of Europe and so on, and they worked with the group, the Secret Service in Britain, and what became MI5. And George Orwell was part of that. He was a member of it. Lord Bertrand Russell was a member of it. The author of Darkness at Noon was a member of it. And quite a few other people too. They were members, actually sworn members. They were inducted into it, the official secret site. They had to obey by the rules to an extent and so on. But sometimes they would have parties, you know, like dinner parties amongst themselves, things like that. And they'd meet their wives and all the rest of it. And Bertrand Russell was always hitting on other people's wives. He was a real egotist. The type that would taunt people and actually get them angry and make plays for their wives at the same time. A real one-upmanship type character, a very psychopathic, deviant character. A nuisance at these dues that they would he would go to. But Arthur Kessler used to get ticked off and arguments would start and the rest of them would try to separate the almost ensuing fights as Bertrand Russell made plays for Kessler's wife very openly, things like that. And every situation you end up in, think as you're going into and towards it or into it, think. When you start working automatically, moving automatically and not thinking, you've been conditioned by others outside of you. I'm serious. To be the way that they want you to be utterly conformist and doing what they want you to do. But the last thing they want you to do is to think deeply about things and be observant, and be, especially if you have the ability to communicate it to other people. That's what Bertrand Russell said. He was part of a group intertwined with other big groups that were given the right, by the oligarchy. They were given the right to create systems of indoctrination to keep everybody else docile and compliant. And he said that by means of diet injections and injunctions, you know, they can control the size of the population, the minds of the population, and so on. And he also said that the occasional wild one that we find from outside our class, he said we can give them a scholarship, bring them in, and put them to the best schools and Ivy League schools, and when they get into the big granite stone buildings, you know, of like Oxford and Cambridge, and he said it'll affect them so much to see all the paintings of all the prestigious people before them who made names for themselves and altered destiny and so on of nations. He said they feel so small that, and once they get the rewards coming their way, he said we'll open the doors up for them, make sure they get the rewards, and they will be ours, under the condition that they always keep their families and their backgrounds and their old friends out of the picture. They're kind of reborn into it, you see. They'd be cut off from the past. But he said, those who have the ability and the intellect, he said, who will not accept their scholarships, etc., will be enemies, he says. And he says, we will have to deal with them. And he meant lethally. Because they could, down the road, start by communicating knowledge, true knowledge, verifiable knowledge to the people, and see through things that have been done to the people, that the people would use them as a leader and could follow them and could topple the oligarchic system. It's quite they're quite open, especially when they're writing books up for their own people and their own class. It's quite fascinating to see how blatant they were about it all. Well, Spock said towards the end of their life, he said too, with giving them no guidance and so on, letting them do what they want to do as children, he said, we've risen a generation of psychopaths. That's what he said. Well, you think they didn't know that they wouldn't necessarily be psychopaths, but they definitely have psychopathic qualities and traits. And it fitted in awfully well the hedonistic system that Russell wanted to promote to disable society. That was the function of it. It's hard for people to believe and accept that there are people who really work together like a military force but without the uniforms. And they have titles and ranks and all the rest of it in universities and throughout the system, but they actually work as a force to destroy society and you and disable you. It's hard for people to accept that. It really is. And it should be too, because in a normal, very old society, say a so-called primitive, which is natural society, anybody who tried to con you and fool you and change your way of surviving and living, you'd have to deal with them, wouldn't you? And they would deal with them very quickly.
So you have to really stand back, as I say. Don't get involved emotionally. And you'll get a good chuckle out of things. You really will have a good laugh at it. I don't have TV or watch TV. I haven't for years and years and years. My entertainment is reading the media. And what they're given to the public to believe is quite amazing. And I can't even go into some of the things that are so amazing tonight. I don't have time. But I hope I haven't prattled on too long tonight and bored you. But anyway, I just like to give my thoughts out there for people, hoping that some people, and I said at one, some of my first shows, I said, I don't come for a cheerleader for the masses. I said, it's for the occasional person here and there that simply wants to understand really deeply the truth. And by knowing the truth too, they can shape themselves. You really can. You'll shape yourself, your whole vision of life, your vision of your future for yourself too. Instead of simply reacting and being pushed into crowds for social acceptance. What do you feel about that? Aren't you angry about that? You know, blah, blah. Join us, blah, blah. Keep away from all. Keep away from all of them. Keep away from all of them. Because they're all being used. And the big ones at the top, you'll notice the really, really wealthy folk. Look into papers these days, the folk die. They're all dying in their 90s and their 100s, some 102 or 3. These are the folk at the very top who give you all the things to fight about, and they use you all. But they themselves don't get angry about any of that stuff at all. And they live awfully well, awfully healthily, to a good old age. Really good. You won't, when you're getting all angry, you won't. You'll have all kinds of problems. Hell, you might even kill each other. Hope not. But that's been the history of humankind. Those who know how to manipulate and use people, the psychopaths, the good ones, the intelligent psychopaths, there's all kinds of intellects too within the psychopathic communities. There's the low-level ones and there's the high-level ones. And they live awfully well, awfully, awfully well. And they breed amongst themselves and they breed within their own money groups. So they keep money within themselves, and they also produce more psychopaths. And that's what Bertrand Russell meant when he said, Lord Bertrand Russell, remember, he said eventually the elite will form almost a separate species. And that's what because they know a whole different reality and why the things are happening and what's planned than you do. You only see at the bottom what they want you to see. That's the true history of it. But anyway, I hope you're all hanging in there, literally hanging in well. Or at least hanging on, at least, and you're able to learn. And hopefully there's enough young people who can catch on to the cons that are out there and the lies that are out there and all the movements that are put out there to fall into or fall out of or be run over by and try and steer, keep well away from them all. Think for yourself. It's the most important thing you can do is think for yourself. If you don't think for yourself, somebody else is doing your thinking for you. From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.